So that'll be a blessing. The Puentes were in the Spanish church yesterday, and see that they didn't split the church. Amen, Brother Abraham. So they did a good job. All right. So, Brother Puente, we're glad to have you and your wife. And so y'all sing for us as soon as they're done, Brother Foss. It's yours. Come on and preach to us. We'll be glad to hear you. Okay? Thank you.
Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings in chapter 21. We appreciate the ministries of Faith Baptist Church and your pastor. And appreciate your stand for the Lord and faithfulness to His Word and for your heart for missions. And we're excited to be a part of this missions conference. It's a privilege and an honor to be here. And we hope that we can partner with you in trying to reach Serbia. And please pray for those folks. And I'm excited we'll be able to give our presentation to you all this coming Wednesday morning. 1 Kings chapter 21. We are going to read a little bit here. And, all right. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria." Hard by means close to. "And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And he said, Look here, bub, this place ain't for sale. It's been a part of my family for a long time, and so it ain't for sale here. And there's some things, of course, that we can preach about that aren't for sale in our Christian life. And we need to stand like Naboth here, even at threat of his own life, to take a stand for things that are important, that are valuable before God, that we need to protect and cherish and honor. But we're going to look at here, instead of Naboth and his reaction, we're going to look at Ahab and what he did. The Bible tells us there, "And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread." And it looks like he's just like a pouty, selfish little brat throwing a temper tantrum here. And what a pathetic display, especially from a king, an adult, a king of a whole country. And let's look here, and it says in verse 5, "But Jezebel's wife came to him and said to him, Baby doll, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, But because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel's wife said unto him, Pumpkin, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." And, of course, Jezebel, if you know this story, went behind his back, went behind several people's back here and killed this guy, this innocent man named Naboth, who had nothing to do with all this. He took a stand. He was doing right. And sometimes there will be things like that when we take a stand for right. But we're going to focus upon what motivated Naboth to do this kind of stuff. Naboth had a big problem. Now, this what we're going to be talking about today is not necessarily a missions message, but the problem we'll talk about today affects missions drastically and really affects the rest of our life. I want to preach to you this morning about the sin of selfishness. The sin of selfishness. One man said this. He said, "The world missions is God's therapy for the sin of selfishness within the local church." I believe that's true because we're stepping outside of ourselves and saying, there is something that's more important outside of me. I am but small in the scope of what's called eternity. And I ought to invest in the things that are right, that are more important than me. And that's where missions is a big help to that. But I want to focus on several things here about selfishness. First of all, selfishness is an overactive concern about your own welfare at the expense or in disregard of others, which means basically caring for nobody else but yourself. Basically saying, me number one, kind of a thing. And that's a mentality that we're talking about this morning. All of us have that problem here. There's nobody I can say that it doesn't apply to them. And it affects every area of our lives. Being a selfish person. Now, obviously, selfishness brings out a lot out of us. And obviously, we see here a king, it brought out some pathetic behavior. And boy, we see this, and sometimes it brings some pathetic behavior out of us. And so we see here he was babyish, he was being a brat, he was throwing a temper tantrum, he was pouting. And most of the time, whenever I preach this to kids especially, I will go and throw a temper tantrum on the floor. And, of course, obviously, all the kids will be laughing and giggling and having a fun old time. But then I'll ask them and say, now, you think that was pretty funny, right? And they would say, obviously, that it was funny. And I would say, now, this is an adult. Obviously, that's why it's so funny. But what do you think when we see you do that? What do you think that we're thinking? And so I hope that it sobers them up. But now I won't throw that because I'm too nervous today. And I want to be all pious anyhow. But babyish and brattish is what selfishness brings out of us. Brings out pouting, a temper tantrum. You know what? You see here, though, that a person that's just like this, would you like to hang around them? Would you like to be around this kind of person? No, obviously. And so being a selfish brat pushes other people away. You know, if you want to feel how you can recognize that you're being selfish, you can see how close that people get to you. Do you have a tough time being close to anybody, having a close friend? If you do, then there's a problem there. It's most likely that you're pretty selfish. And another thing here, we see later on in chapter 16, verse 33, it says, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. The main thing, that the pathetic behavior, what it does, especially makes God angry. God is angry about selfishness. So we're going to analyze selfishness today and see about it, and then we'll see the cure for it. So we've discussed, first of all, the pathetic behavior, and we'll see here the places that it comes from. The places that it comes from. One person said, a Christian wrapped up in himself is an ugly package. And I believe that's true. I tell you that every one of us, no matter if you're young or you're old, you have a problem with selfishness. And so the places that it comes from, in chapter 16, verse 25, it talks about his father, the king before him, was a real wicked king. And he received that kind of mindset, that mentality from him. And it says he was worse than all the kings before him. He was wicked. Being wicked is really a big sign of being selfish. And so family sometimes can cause a person to be selfish. Another area, I'm just trying to quickly go through these things to give you maybe some ideas of where you are being selfish from. Another area that brings selfishness is finances. Ahab was king of all of Israel. And this was after Solomon, so I'm sure he had a lot of Solomon's treasures and riches. He could have anything that he wanted to. Had a palace, a wonderful place to live. Had a bunch of vineyards already, but he desired more. You know, if you're trying to seek for things, those things will not fill you. The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after, not possessions, but righteousness. After living right before God, living for God, it says, for they shall be filled. You'll only be filled if you live right for God. There's no other way to seek fulfilling inside of you without living for God. And so finances are a big cause of selfishness. One person said, most people buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't even like. And I'm sad to say that that's very true to us today. I mean, we don't even like the people we're trying to impress. And so finances are a big cause of selfishness. Number three under that, fun. Fun is a big cause of selfishness. Today we are surrounded by fun, by entertaining ourselves. We are entertaining ourselves at times to death. I want to ask you kids, I want you to think in your mind right now, would it be fun if you could go and play in the playground all day long and then go and play at the park and then go and play at the zoo? And wouldn't it be fun to do something like that? Yeah, you're shaking your head. What about the next day? Do the same thing. And the next day after that, the same thing. No, not have any classes, just fun all the time. Would you learn much? No, you wouldn't learn much. So how would you end up? You would be a third grade graduate in McDonald's. And that's what your life will end up being. You won't go anywhere. You won't do anything because you didn't learn anything at all. Having too much fun ruins us today. And that's what it's doing. It's ruining our society today. Our education is being dumbed down. Our culture is failing in a great way because we're so into being having a lot of fun. There's no more discipline today, folks. There's no more character. It's sad to see this country going down the tubes because of that. And we could focus a lot on that there. But one question I want to bring up here is, are you in for a fun-filled life or a fruitful death, a fruitful judgment before God? That's what our motivation should be. Instead of desiring pleasure and fun and excitement for our lives, we should desire to please God and to hear Him say, well done. Have that WD degree, well done, before God. And so we ought not seek fun. Family, finances, fun. Fourthly, friends, those you associate with. You know, this old boy right here, he associated himself with the wrong kind of people. And I just read over the story in 2 Samuel where it says, but Amnon had a friend. Amnon had some bad thoughts in his mind, and it wouldn't have come out if he had not the wrong kind of friends. And as a result of that, lost his life. But we have to be careful about who we hang around. The old saying goes that you are or soon will be like those that you hang around. And we've got to be very careful. Ahab was hanging around the wrong people. He was hanging around, of course, Jezebel here. He should not have married Jezebel in the first place. She was not an Israelite. That was against God's word. He was hanging around the wrong people. He made some wrong choices and lived and died as a result of it. And is full of regret, I'm sure, right now. And may have obviously be in hell being full of regret there. You will live to regret the choices that you make and the people that you hang around. Make sure you're hanging around the right people, especially about your choice for a spouse. And you will live to regret making the wrong decision there. And so what's popular, they say, is not always right. And what's right is not always popular. Let that motivate you right there. The last year is some failure as well, motivated into some selfishness. You can study and read chapter 20 and learn more about that. But the main thing, the last thing that the place it comes from is just plain old flesh. This plain old flesh nature, letting our flesh have control, letting it have the steering wheel of our lives. And so we see the pathetic behavior. We also see the places it comes from. Number three, we see the problems that develop. The problems that develop. Selfishness is actually the source, basically, of all sin. You go and study the Ten Commandments, and selfishness is behind each one of those Ten Commandments if you break them. And so all sin comes from selfishness, putting self as number one. And that's a bad place to be. And so the source of it, and it's subtle, though. It's very subtle. It'll sneak up on us at times. Oh, you know, it'll just do like Jezebel there. Oh, you poor thing. You okay? And I'll take care of you. And we'll sob. We'll say, well, I do deserve that. I deserve better than this. We'll talk ourselves into it. And we'll say we do deserve this kind of stuff. Our whole culture is built on that mentality, saying you deserve this. Have the best. You deserve this. I mean, each commercial that you see is built on that. Because you deserve it. You deserve the best. And that's a terrible thing. But the problems, other problems it develops, especially the spiritual dryness that comes from it. You think that God is really pleased with people that are motivated by selfishness? No. You know what? Selfishness, every spiritual problem comes from selfishness. You know why you don't pray? Because you're selfish. You know why you don't read your Bible? It's because you're selfish. You know why you don't go to church faithfully or you don't have your heart in church? It's because you're selfish. Because we're selfish. You know why we don't step outside of our box and try to see people saved? It's because we're selfish. And that's especially why missions is failing today. Folks, missions is on the verge of extinction unless something is done about it. Unless kids and teens, unless you do something about it. And you serve your own generation by the will of God. And so selfishness will destroy. It'll bring a lot of problems. The last thing under that is that the sad results that happen here. I want to just see some things. There came as a result of Ahab's wickedness, a drought and a famine. That's in 16, 17 and chapter 18. And so it's not only hurtful to you, it's hurtful to others. You know, I don't want to hurt people. I'm sure you kids and teenagers and adults, you don't want to be the cause of somebody hurting. But you know, our selfishness can really change and affect somebody's life. We think that we live in a bubble, that our decisions only affect us. But no, folks, it affects so many more people. You know, I'm sure that there was a lot of people that were disappointed as a result of what Ahab's choices were. Well, first of all, you think of this. Jezebel had Naboth killed. I mean, that man, I'm sure, had a family, had some folks that depended upon him, some workers that worked for him, had some heritage. You know, his grandkids would have sure liked to have met him. And other things that he was an influence upon, now they're disappointed, now they're depressed, now they're discouraged because somebody was selfish and took and put himself as number one and ruined somebody else's life. You know, not only did Naboth lose his life and affect his family, Naboth's family, and such like that, but later on, Ahab himself lost his life and his wife as well. So not only was he gone and he affected by his own selfishness, but his family, his kingdom was affected by that. You know, other people, it'll be almost a big domino effect of what happens around us today. It's a warning that God is trying to give in here that if we are motivated by selfishness, we will ruin the lives of others, some people we may never meet. You know, you may be ruining somebody's life for eternity because of your motivation for selfishness. You could have been a missionary. You could have reached somebody with the gospel. You could have been a pastor, but because of our selfish decisions, we have wasted our lives, and somehow God may not have somebody else go for you to that person. God may have had only you go to that person. It talks about how in Revelation that when this church was making the wrong decisions, he says, I will blow out your candle. That means their candle will not be lit anymore. And that means nobody else will come in to take that place. He'll not relight it with some other church. But we will ruin our ministry and the ministry of others and the lives of others if we make the wrong decisions and we're motivated by selfishness. So selfishness brings a lot of problems. You know what selfishness, the main person that you are like when you're selfish? Who is most like a selfish person? Is it God or is it Satan? Satan, obviously, in Isaiah 14, was motivated by selfishness. He says, I will ascend to the heights. I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. I'm going to kick God off the throne. You know, when you're selfish, you say, God, I don't want you to be on the throne of my life. I want me to be on the throne of my life. Who are you most like, God or Satan? You're most like Satan. And so it causes tremendous problems in our lives. If you call yourself a Christian, we're to be Christ-like, folks. We're to be followers of Christ. Turn with me quickly to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, I want to outline the prescription for selfishness. That is the cure for selfishness. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 1. The Bible tells us there, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, not for your good, but that person's good, to edification, that is to build them up. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. So the first prescription that God is trying to hear say is that we ought not have a direction inward, not to please ourselves. But we're to have a direction outward. That is to help our neighbor. That is to help folks in need. We're not to focus inward on us, but to focus outward. I'll sum it up in a word just in a little bit, but one simple word that will help us in just a bit. But selfishness is having no active concern for others. Being selfless, though, is having an active concern for others. To putting others before yourself. You know what? Somebody else is more important than us. And there's needs that are more important than our needs. And, you know, selfishness, God ain't going to bless that anyway. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. So we've seen the first thing is not to have a direction inward, but a direction outward. And Christ was especially our example. He said, for even Christ pleased on himself. I want to ask you this. If Christ was full of selfishness, would you have been saved? No way. Obviously, you wouldn't have been saved. He stepped down from heaven. I mean, he gave up heaven. I mean, all the things that we can imagine and think that it is, he gave that up for us so we can be saved. And he came down here and he got spit upon. He got mocked. He got beaten badly, brutally for our sake. If he was selfish, he said, forget all this. Angels destroy them all. And he could have. But he didn't because of us, because of his love for us. Man, we need to be motivated just like that. Have a direction outward, not inward. Secondly here, Galatians 1:10. The Bible says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And I'll read quickly for you. You don't have to turn there. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9 says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, that is of God. We're not living to please others. We're not living to please ourselves, but we're living to please God. That's the first, don't have a direction inward, but a direction outward, and then have a direction upward. That is toward God. Our life ought to be motivated to live and please God and to glorify him in our lives. And we ought to be great in the sight of God. One saying goes, only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. And another saying is, 'tis one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for God will last in eternity, folks. And so we ought to consider these things and put these things in our life. And lastly, is to follow direction from the Word. In Galatians 2, you're still there, I hope so. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Follow direction from the Word, and that is, it says there, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is, we're to die to self, die to the flesh. Notice this last statement, though, here in verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. You know what frustrate means is to make it void, to disappoint, to stop. Basically, to stop the flow of. God wants to use you as a channel of blessing, to go and reach out to others, a vessel, a chosen vessel for his work. And what we do when we're motivated by selfishness, we put a stop, a frustration to God's grace. And so he cannot channel his grace through you and pour it out to others through you. God is disappointed. God is frustrated by that. I don't want to be frustrating God. And so we're to follow his word and we're to be crucified to the flesh. We're to die to self, die to our needs and be alive unto Christ and to put on the new man daily, to crucify the flesh and put off the old man. And so we are to follow the direction from the word. One simple statement will help you put all this into perspective. And that is one word, the word joy. And I hope you kids, of course, already know this and you teenagers, but the word joy, let's look at that word joy and fill that in there, J-O-Y. What does that stand for? Jesus and others and you. That's how to put it all back into perspective to kill this sin of selfishness so that we can be right with God and used by God. And so J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and you. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Now, if you get that in any other direction, any other order, you mess it up, it's confusing, and it doesn't mean anything, and you won't have real joy. I mean, Y-J-O, that doesn't spell anything. J-Y-O, that doesn't spell anything either. And on, we can look at that. But J-O-Y, put it in its proper place. I want to give you a story before we go, and that'll help you and motivate you to live for God. You know, you as a kid can be a servant. You can be a help. You can be unselfish. And teenagers, we need to be unselfish. And adults, we need to be unselfish. And God can help us to defeat the sin of selfishness in our lives. First of all, my sister, I actually give two stories here. My sister, her first word was self. And my first word was something like, oh my. But her first was self. And my dad would come to her and say, Nikki, let me do that for you. And she would say, no, self, self. And that seemed to be, and even today, the motivating factor of her life. And I'm not sure if she got saved when she was younger, but I compare my life with hers. And I've tried to be in the church. I've tried to live for God. I've tried to go out soul winning and be involved in the ministries of God. Try to look outside myself instead of inside and live for God. And as a result, I think that God blessed me. But I can see in her life a tragic, basically living for self and what it's done to her. And her life has been a mess. She's had broken down vehicles. She's made bad decisions. Her finances are down the tubes, and just overall, just a terrible attitude as well. Selfishness will destroy your life. But it was a choice, of course, that she had made, and it's a choice that we all make as well. Last thing I want to tell you, there was a guy named Sam Kinison, and I'll show you my worldliness here. This guy was an actor, and some of you, maybe older folks, know who that is. He was on the Police Academy videos, a comedy show. And I wouldn't recommend that you watch that stuff, by the way. But if you do remember him, he was the guy that had the long hair, and he was real loud with his voice. And he'd be like, ah, and I can't really imitate him too well right now. But if I remember right, he was a pretty funny guy. But the way that he got to that point before he got into acting, why he could manipulate his voice so well, is because he had grown up in a Christian home. And it sounded like he had become a preacher in this church. And I won't tell you the name of the church or anything, but had become a preacher, but had fell away from God and then went into acting. Well, one day he was driving with his girlfriend, making bad decisions, obviously, driving with his girlfriend along this road, I think, Highway 1 on the coast in California, and probably was drunk. And was going along the road and missed a turn. And they both got thrown from the vehicle and probably rolled several times as they came to a crash. She was thrown from the vehicle. He was thrown from the vehicle. And she heard him groaning and moaning. And just before he died, he was moaning, why? Lord, why? And then he groaned a sigh of basically, I think, realization, saying, oh, I know why. I think he was asking God, why did you end my life so soon? I was enjoying life. I was having a party time. It was great. It was fun. But God ended his life because God couldn't stomach it anymore. It made him sick. And that's what it does. It makes him sick when we live for selfishness. And so God took his life earlier than he should have. Earlier than the guy should have lived. But God had to set him aside for a certain work to be a preacher. No telling how God could have used him if he would have stayed right for God. No telling the difference he could have made in his life. But he died early because he made the wrong decision, and that was to live for self. He obviously didn't put Jesus first. He obviously didn't put others first. He put himself first, and that ended it all. That will end it all in our lives, folks. Multiplied problems will come as a result of it. And who will we be most like? Be like Satan, folks. And we need to squelch this. We need to squish it. We need to kill this. We need to do what we can to die to self and live unto God. To have real joy like we've learned this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take this to God in prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Obviously, every time we hear a preaching service, it's not meant to take up time. It's not meant to annoy you or to put you to sleep. It's meant to help you, to be an encouragement so that you can live for God, that you can be more Christ-like and follow Him and serve Him and please Him and glorify Him. But boy, we need to get our priorities straight here. And we have lived for self, a lot of us, for decades to where we don't even see how we can get out of it. We'll come to the altar this morning and God will help you start. Start by putting your priorities right. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Let's get these things down in our life so that God can be pleased with us and use us in a fantastic way. Pastor.